On today's featured, let's talk Captain America. So Captain America was first published in on December 20th of 1940 by Timely Comics. So it follows the story we know and love. He was a frail little man named Steve Rogers. He wanted to fight in the war, so he was picked to undergo the Super Soldier Serum. So he was first created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. What's interesting is he was created in a direct response to, well, Superman is popular. We want you to create someone for our comics. You know, Timely Comics. They weren't Marvel yet. They were Timely Comics. So he's not the first American hero, but he became the most popular in the 40s due to the fact that he was created during World War II. And when he was created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, they said that they wanted to define him by his villain, because they said that all the villains are what defines the heroes. So the first thing they did was decide, well, who's going to be his arch villain? And they did something that was really rare for the day and something that we don't really see a lot. They picked a real life person to be his villain. Do you know who this person was?
Hitler?
Yes! They said he was the most hated man in the world.
Wow.
So what better villain to create for Captain America?
Either him or Trump. But.
Wow, yeah, I know. When does Trump become a villain?
Yeah.
So by the time the war was ending, superhero comics as a whole were just not as popular anymore, just because there was no battle going on. So the character was actually retired in 1950. See, I didn't know all this.
Oh.
In 1963, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby wanted to bring Captain America back. So in Strange Tales, I believe it was 119, I want to say, they decided, let's do a little teaser. Let's just kind of see, 114, sorry, it's five off.
Oh.
So they decided, let's put Captain America back in a comic like 13 years after he was retired. But at the end of the comic, it turned out to be an imposter. It wasn't the real Captain America.
Oh.
And they wrote in the end of the story, we wanted to see if he was popular or not, if we should bring him back. He was actually defeated by Johnny Storm of the Fantastic Four, which is a funny fact. So the reader response to the story was so enthusiastic, they decided that in Avengers number 4 in March of 1964, that they would reintroduce him. And that's why we get the whole story of Steve Rogers falling into the Atlantic Ocean and freezing, because that was their way of putting him back in continuity with the Avengers.
Okay.
Yeah. So we all think of one person when we think of Captain America now, Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. But did you know there were actually other actors who played him before?
I think so.
Yeah. In 1944, there was a serial film, Captain America, much like there's a Batman serial.
Mm.
Not cereal like you eat, like cereal.
No milk.
No milk.
Okay.
In 1979, there were two live-action adaptations, Captain America and Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. And in 1990, there was another one, a self-titled Captain America movie.
Okay.
So, I mean, the fact that we kind of weren't as familiar with these and have never seen these, obviously they weren't met with a lot of success.
I'm surprised you don't know these movies.
I knew there was, like, the 90s one, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, but you're good at bad movies.
What? And so, yeah, that's our Captain America. He's still not one of my favorite heroes, but with Chris Evans portraying him and seeing him brought to life, I like him more, but he's just so, like, he's a little too clean cut for me.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Cap?
I like him. Yeah, he's not my favorite either, because he is kind of, like, boring, because he just has a shield and is strong. But I just thought of a good idea that they should do, especially because these are going to be good movies coming up, is Indiana Jones with Captain America fighting Nazis.
Wow. I do like Sam Wilson Captain America more, just because I feel like there's more to his story and like more struggle with him being accepted by the United States. I just think it's more meaningful to me, and it shows the struggle a little bit more for the black community. So he makes more of an impact.
And he has wings.
That's
so fun.
Yeah. And of course, in the comics, Bucky was actually Captain America for a brief time.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Yeah. There's been a few Caps. There was also a U.S. agent who was Cap for a little while. But he was too violent. So they're like, girl, you gotta calm down. Take that shield away from her.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
The marvelous galaxy.
Disney, yeah. Welcome to this week's Marvelous Galaxy of Disney. My name is Sean.
And my name's Alan.
And fair warning, we're actually recording this a little earlier than usual, so we may not be completely up to date on our news. The reason we're doing that is we're having a fun-filled weekend in Palm Springs, yo!
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
It's gonna be so nice hot and warm.
And then the minute we get back on Sunday, I am going to a Fall Out Boy concert, Bring Me the Horizon, Alkaline Trio, and that's all the bands that will be there that matter. No, Newfound Glory, I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, so sorry if we don't have full news, but we did see Rogers the Musical today, so that's what we're excited to talk with you about today as our big finale.
Yeah. Boop, 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 boop.
I don't know why I'm making that noise so much.
Wow.
Alan.
Hi.
Where do you want to start?
Disney.
Disney. So, I just mentioned this not that long ago, and it's happening.
Yes.
We are getting a Tron 3.
Finally.
Finally. And it looks like Joaquin Ronning, who helmed Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, which I really like that movie. I liked it better than the first Maleficent. He also did Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. He's being brought on to do Tron 3. So far, we've got a really cool actor and another guy who are going to be in it. We have Evan Peters. I'm a big fan of his.
He's cool.
Yeah. He's cool.
He's a really good actor, and that's exciting to hear.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the other one was in there, too.
Yeah, and Jared Leto. I'm sure he's fine. I'm just not the biggest Jared Leto fan just because of how he is in real life, and he's kind of culty. Listen to our episode, Once Upon a Cult, all about Jared Leto. And I'm also kind of like the last few movies that he did, like Morbius and Suicide Squad, like they just weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this one, I challenge you, Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Step it up. Make me like this movie because I love Tron. I'm so excited to get a sequel.
Have they confirmed anything about bringing back like Jeff Bridges or the guy that played Sam Flynn?
Looking through this article, I don't see their names.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Tron to come back because I do love both the first and second one. But I'm curious to see if this is, like, more of, like, a reboot or what. Because, yeah, like, how do you not have Tron without Kevin Flynn, who created everything?
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, he needs to at least be referenced, if not in it.
Yeah.
Or wasn't it? It was his son in the second one, right?
Yeah, his son, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do, I also like Cora, who was like the girlfriend in the second one, played by Olivia Wilde. I hope she's there too, because I thought she was a really cool character as well. So I don't know, we'll see. But I'm really excited for this. And I wonder if they're going to have like a DJ like they did with Daft Punk for the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much about the music too. which I loved about the second one. So,
yeah. Do you think they'd bring back electronica? Because that was amazing. Right. I loved electronica so much.
That would be fun. I mean, since we can't have the Tron roller coaster here, or we don't have it yet, or now, at least do bring back electronica.
Yeah, I was going a couple of times a week and going just for electronica. I'm not even lying.
Yeah.
I was going with Vicky. And I mean, they were selling a lot of alcohol too during electronica. So it was a moneymaker.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. They would do that light show with the guy with the lasers on his fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, well, we're not here to talk about electronica.
But yeah, I mean, speaking of a guy doing performances, so if you're a fan of Lilo and Stitch, you might remember one of Nani's friends, or actually close boyfriend, really, who was the fire performer dancer in the movie. Well, it's been confirmed that the original voice actor of him, of David, is going to be making a cameo in the live action Lilo and Stitch. So that's very exciting. Jason Scott Lee is his name, and he will be making a cameo, and it's going to be cute because his role is going to interact with the guy who plays David in the live action. So, yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, everybody, Alan's back, and he's better than Kevin.
Oh, wow. No, I heard Kevin. Good job, Kevin. Good job.
Good job, Kevin, who we're seeing tomorrow.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I'm trying to figure out the times, because, yeah, we're recording in the past for the future.
Yeah, by the time you're hearing this, Favorites, it'll be the future, but it will be your present.
Yes,
which will be our past.
But this whole podcast is your present from us.
Oh. Yeah, so Kevin is coming out here from Wisconsin. We're going to a pool party for 4th of July. We're hitting up Disney on Wednesday, and we're going to an Aqua concert on Thursday. I'm so excited. Aqua is like one of those bands I've loved since I was a teenager, since Barbie Girl came out. I've always wanted to see them. They don't tour here very much, so when I saw they were coming, I was like, I don't care if I'm unemployed, we are going to Aqua.
Wow, Aqua, that's such a blast from the past.
Wow.
Just like a bunch of Disney movies coming back into theaters.
I see what you did there.
For Disney 100.
I see what you did there.
This is exciting because, yeah, like some of these movies we were not old enough to watch in theaters. Disney, for the Disney 100 celebration, Disney's bringing back a bunch of movies to air in the theaters, and that includes both Pixar and Disney animated movies. The first set, actually coming up soon, is Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. That will be coming in the theaters July 7th.
That's the first one.
That's the first one, July 7th through July 20th. And then Toy Story is coming back in the theaters July 21st, August 3rd. After that will be Frozen, August 4th through August 17th, which I think, you know, it wasn't that far in the theaters. So.
Let it go.
I know. I'm really excited for Beauty and the Beast coming back August 18th through the 31st.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then we also have The Incredibles after that for September, as well as Coco in the second half of September. And then to round out the whole event, you have Lion King from October, as well as Moana at the second half of October. So, fun movies.
I like how you try to make yourself sound younger by saying, like, some of these we may not have been able to see in theaters. You were alive during all these movies. Well, Don't lie.
I was, but, like, Beauty and the Beast.
No,
like,
I know. We were young when it came out.
I had to watch it on a bootleg video.
Oh.
Because, yeah, I was too young to watch it in theaters.
I was hoping you'd say, like, Sleeping Beauty or Jungle Book.
Well, that's the thing, too. I wish they had those movies.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we missed out watching them in theaters, but I'm sure that would be fun to watch in the theaters instead of at home.
Yeah, I'd rather have any of those than, like, Frozen, which, like you said, came out in, 2013?
Yeah.
Not, like, 10 years ago?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still fun if you want to, like, either get, like, nostalgia to watch the movies again, or if you missed it in the theaters. So, yeah. Although, I don't know if this will happen, but that'd be cool if you watch these in 4DX.
Stop it.
I would love to see, like, Frozen in 4DX, you know, when Elsa does her ice stuff and it's spraying water at you.
I would love that. Yeah. I mean, it's, okay, now you got me excited for Frozen. Well, I think everybody in the galaxy would be excited for that.
Yeah. Because we're going to the galaxy now.
Oh, no. Galaxy. So last week, I love this. Last week we reported on Princess Leia's white dress, the one she's wearing in the end of A New Hope with the kind of cloak over it. It's up for auction for $2 million. And I remember Luke, who's Captain America, and Kevin were both like, whoa! And that's right, because it did not sell.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's $2 million for a used dress.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Carrie Fisher wore it, but still, that's a lot of money for a dress.
True.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this dress.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are some rich nerds out there, so I am a little surprised.
I am, too, because even though that's an extravagant amount, like, the love for Star Wars, and you're right, there's a lot of big money out there. So I thought, you know, people are paying for Galactic Star Cruiser. I thought someone would pick this up.
Yeah.
But it did not.
Oh.
That's okay, because it appears that we're leaving the original trilogy behind anyway.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Or, oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So Kathleen Kennedy has said that... Oh, Kathleen Kennedy, who is basically the showrunner of Star Wars, making all the big decisions, has said that she is moving towards a new start with Star Wars. She wants to get away from the George Lucas era. She wants to get away from the George Lucas characters. So we're going to see those characters probably less and less within the new movies. How do you feel about that?
I like that because... Yeah, I mean, there's been a handful of movies about, like, the Skywalker saga, so it would be nice to get, you know, a new set of characters to get to know in the Star Wars galaxy. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why Rogue One did so well, because these were a whole new set of characters in the Star Wars world, and it was cool to see these characters kind of tied into what we already know in Star Wars, so... Yeah, I'm all for it, for sure. It would be nice to see, like, cameos from, you know, some of the familiar characters, but not feature them so much.
I agree. Yeah, because especially, like, with Mandalorian doing so well, with the popularity of Andor, even though we don't love it, like a lot of people do, it's been shown that, like, we don't necessarily need Jedis in our Star Wars. We don't necessarily need these big name characters. We can have new characters and do just as well with them. So I'm excited for this. I think it's a necessary step for Star Wars to continue. And especially with Disney investing so much in the sequel trilogy, it would be a lot for them just to drop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they're moving forward with Rey, keeping her as a main character. I'm really hoping we get more story with Finn. I know, what's his name? John Boyega has kind of said he doesn't want to do Star Wars again because he didn't like his experience. But then later, I think he hinted at maybe doing it more. Mm-hmm. Of course, I mean, where Oscar Isaac stands here, so
yeah.
I would love to see more Poe. I think there's a lot of story there, especially the unwritten story of Finn being Force-sensitive that we never really got in the trilogy.
Yeah.
I think he could easily be a main character in ongoing movies.
Yeah, or the kid that pushed back up the broom.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know his story.
I know.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to be in the Rey movie. That would make a lot of sense. That would be cool. Yeah. That would be a nice tie-in.
That would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there might be a lot more tie-ins to other things here in the Star Wars world, because Jude Law from Skeleton Crew, as well as the co-creator of Skeleton Crew, Chris Ford, was in a podcast called Dagobah Dispatch, and they were talking about, obviously, the show, but also opportunities to have crossovers for other Star Wars shows as well, too. Because Skeleton Crew is part of or features, you know, a bunch of kids, there is opportunity for these kids to kind of branch out as they either grow or us to get to know their backstory and kind of blend in with other Star Wars shows. So it's cool. I think this is because this is kind of like, I feel like the Marvel like formula of kind of blending in storylines with other characters and other storylines. So, you know, and that did really well for the MCU. So I'm thinking this is going to be exciting and really good because it also forces you to watch all the series as well.
Yeah, I like that a lot because I think that is one problem with Star Wars is everything's so segmented, especially for me. I'm getting antsy about, like, how does the Mandalorian fit into the greater narrative? So, like, I'm excited that we're starting to get that greater narrative and that hopefully that is explained as to where everybody is during the sequels.
Cool. Exciting.
Yeah, that's marvelous.
Very marvelous. Marvelous.
Marvelous. So, Anthony Mackie, he just did like a bunch of interviews getting ready for because New World Order, Captain America New World Order is starting up. So, one of the ones that I thought was really cute is in one of the interviews, he was like, I thought I was playing Black Panther. I was really excited to play Black Panther. Apparently, he kept writing Marvel, being like, I want to be Black Panther. So when they finally came to him and said, hey, we're doing Captain America Civil War, will you be in it? He said, yeah. So he was like, what other black hero is there? Have to be Black Panther. So when they came to him and said, well, I guess they kind of told him, like, you're going to be, you know, a big role in these movies, maybe eventually working up to a solo film. And so he's like, definitely Black Panther. And then they're like, you're going to be Falcon. He was like, what? What the? So I just thought that was really cute. And I think that says something to the power of the MCU. Because, yeah, Falcon was a smaller character. Like, I didn't know about him for a long time either. But him being in the movies, he's now, like, in the forefront, not only as Falcon, but now Captain America. He's everywhere.
I mean, yeah, Captain America, he is kind of, like, to some people, like, the symbol of America. And I love that that symbol of America is an African-American character now.
One of my favorite stories is they did a Captain America series where there's different people across America who are their own Captain Americas. So we get like a female Captain America, a gay Captain America, you know, we've got the black Captain America. So it's, it says a lot to show people of different races, of sexualities. They're all part of America. We are all America. So that, that really says a lot from Marvel. So kudos on that, Marvel.
I wonder if Anthony Mackie also kind of, like, started to learn a Wakandan accent.
I know.
Like, all these voice lessons that I had gone to waste.
Well, it's interesting when you think about it because I started thinking, like, how would it have changed things if he was Black Panther? Like, would we have maybe seen Chadwick as Falcon or somebody else's Falcon? And how would that have changed the way the MCU was shaped? I mean, I like the way it's gone. I wouldn't have it any other way, but it's just interesting to think about.
Maybe there'll be, maybe that's the basis of another What If episode.
There you go. What if Anthony Mackie was Black Panther? You know, I didn't put this in the notes, but I just thought I'd talk about it since we were talking about America. The Punisher. So I thought this was really funny. I've been reading the Punisher series. I'm just like two behind right now, but the Punisher has become basically godlike tier. He's working with the hand and or the fist. No, the hand. Yeah, the hand. The fist. Am I on something? He's working with the hand, and he's basically like their chosen killer. And he's doing it because they've resurrected his wife. They're having trouble resurrecting his kids. They're keeping the wife in the dark as to the fact that she died. And he apparently has, like, this god power in him that he's been destined to be this godlike character for years. All that to say, as we've talked about, a lot of Americans have brought the Punisher symbol up as, like, their symbol for hate. Like, a lot of very right-wing activists are using it as a symbol of, like, we need to take back our liberties. So the first step Marvel took is they changed the Punisher symbol. Now it looks very more Asian looking, to go with the fact that he's working with the Hand, who's an Asian based. But in this last comic I read, he went and killed a bunch of KKK guys. It didn't explicitly say they were KKK. They were a hate group with shaved heads. And Captain America, like, punished them for hurting other people and for hating. And I'm just like, what better message to send to these guys using as a symbol? Like,
yeah.
He doesn't want you.
No.
He thinks you're disgusting. He's here to protect people who don't hate.
Yeah.
So take that.
Obviously, they don't read the comics.
I know.
Well, they probably don't read, but, or can't read, but yeah.
Wow. Well, on a lighter note, so I don't know if you've heard of these, but there's something called Kotobukiya statues.
Ooh.
They're very Japanese anime inspired, and there's a lot of different properties that they have done. I actually have two of them that you see every day. I actually have Emma Frost over there. She's a Kotobukiya.
Okay.
And then I have a Psylocke. But they've announced they're coming out with another Rogue one, and it's so beauteous. I love it. So what they did with it that's really cool is she has apparently absorbed Wolverine and Iceman's powers, because she has three bone claws sticking out of her fist, and she has ice forming at her foot. So this is really cool. This is something that may be in our collection one day. I'm a big fan of the Kotobukiya style. Yeah.
Well, she definitely looks a lot better than the pin that they sell at Disney.
Stop it! Don't come for Wonky. I'm Rogue.
I am Rogue.
I'm Rogue. Hey, Joker. Speaking of sugar, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's been reported that Secret Invasion is getting very low viewership. It's one of the lowest viewed Marvel shows.
Wow.
Do you have any theories as to why this might be?
Probably because they didn't. I feel like the only reason why we know it's out is because we're fans. Like, I didn't really see, well, no, I did see a few marketing stuff out there, but I don't know. Maybe because it just doesn't feature a lot of, like, iconic characters. Except for Nick Fury.
I agree, though, on the, I don't think they advertised it much, because I didn't even realize it was out until I think somebody mentioned it. But I do have a list here of viewership. Would you like to know how the shows are doing?
Sure.
What do you think is the lowest viewed show?
Falcon.
Oh. It's actually Ms. Marvel.
Oh.
With 775,000.
Oh, wow.
Secret Invasion so far is actually beating Ms. Marvel at 994,000.
Okay.
She-Hulk and Hawkeye tied at 1.5 million.
Hmm.
WandaVision, I'm kind of surprised. She's kind of low on the list. She's 1.6 million, which that was like the first Marvel show, so I thought that would be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Moon Knight are tied at 1.8 million.
Okay.
And Loki is the clear and present winner at 2.5 million.
Yeah.
I do know most people, you ask which is their favorite show, I feel like they're going to say Loki or WandaVision.
Yeah.
Because those, I think, are the most creatively different shows. So I'm not surprised those are up there. Also, Moon Knight, I feel, is very creatively different. It's a lot darker, a lot more like horror themed. So yeah. Not surprised there. I am surprised by Falcon and Winter Soldier, though.
Yeah, because I mean, I like the show. It's just I know there was a lot of backlash, but like compared to other shows that have premiered with it, it wasn't favorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this does show, though, with She-Hulk, Hawkeye, Secret Invasion, and Ms. Marvel being towards the bottom, I think maybe, unfortunately, it shows that maybe people are kind of sick of these shows.
Yeah.
Maybe they do need to slow up how much they're putting out because the fatigue is setting in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's sad, but hopefully it gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the type, we love Marvel, so we're going to be watching whatever show you put out, Marvel, we're there for. But we're also, I'd say, super fans, so.
Yeah. Well, go watch it.
Go watch it. It's good so far. Yeah. All right. And more on that later, because we didn't really talk about Secret Invasion Episode 1 since Luke and Kevin hadn't watched it yet.
Oh, yeah.
So that's you and me, girl. One and two.
One and two.
But before we get there, where were we today?
Disney. Well, DCA.
You used to say parks.
Parks.
And Freck. So, Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
I can say words. There's been talk about the Galactic Star Cruiser. Have you heard about this?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently it's been announced that after it closes, kind of like what we talked about, they're not just going to let it sit there or tear it down. They're going to figure out something to do with it to make money.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe if they just did like a day trip over there.
That's what I'm thinking. Because, yeah, like, they spent a lot of money to build this building, and they're not going to tear it down, like, right away. I mean, it's not even, like, a couple years old yet, so they need to figure out ways to get their recoup their money back. And, yeah, I think a day trip would be good, because I think a lot of people would pay just so that they can experience it, just to say that they've been inside the Star Cruiser.
I agree. Like, even if it's just, like, something you can do, like, half day at, like, interact with characters, get your food and drink, without having to pay an exorbitant amount to stay there. Like, yeah. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And why not? I mean, it's not like it's physically impossible to do. It's just, it's sitting on the ground, so, yeah.
Yeah, and the little, you know, spaceship ride, which is definitely not a bus with blacked out windows, can't be that long of a ride.
No.
So yeah, they could easily do that.
Yeah,
but we'll see. That's exciting.
Yeah, honestly, now that I've seen this, I think it was more like a PR push to like get a little bit more money and sell out rooms before like the end of it. So yeah, I'm like, I knew this wasn't going to be the end of Star Cruiser.
Yeah. You're right. That does kind of suck for the people who bought it at the very end. Like, I have to see this to know now, like, oh, yeah. I could have waited. Well, you know what we have to wait for, though?
What?
Apparently, at Disney World, they just uncovered a new water tower at the Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
It does.
And there's a tiara.
Yeah. It's very exciting. It looks really good.
I know. I got really excited, Alan. I'm like, we have to go by the old Splash Mountain. I want to see the water tower. He's like, it's in Florida. It's in Florida, you stupid.
So, yeah. And I don't know if you see, but if you ever have a chance to take to see the picture of it, you'll notice that there's two stars on the crown at the top. And it's actually in honor of Evangeline and what's his name? The Firefly guy. Not Lewis, but the other guy.
I forget his name.
Yeah. But anyways, him and Evangeline, his girlfriend in the sky.
How cute.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else I love?
What?
Owen Wilson, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Lakeith Stanfield were in our Disneyland.
Now, they were in Disneyland. They were in our Disneyland Water Tower.
So they made an appearance. They were dressed as Haunted Mansion workers, and they're up on that balcony, which we just learned. Apparently, there's a break room up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was because it used to be the, like, fantasy suite, and it was, like, a museum of, like, old Haunted Mansion stuff in the past. So,
okay.
Like, it's just a break room.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, they were sitting up there waving to people. I love Jamie Lee and her activism. She TikToked being in a Disney store and seeing all the pride, and she was just so like
nice,
happy that Disney is supporting everybody and letting everybody come to the table. Yeah. And I just loved that she put ears on the Keith. And then she put on some rainbow ears to show their support.
Nice.
And it's funny because as much as I love him, like, Lakeith seemed like, I don't want to be here. And Jamie Lee was so excited. But he was wearing the like classic Mickey ears that I have with the rainbow ears, and she put on the headband ears with all the colors that I just bought, the new ones this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're big Jamie fans here.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for Ronan and June. I hope it's good. I know. I'm more excited than you are.
Yeah. Ray is his name, by the way. The Firefly.
Ray, that's right. Yeah. Oh. This is a deep cut. This is old.
Yeah.
So it's been confirmed. One of the Imagineers has confirmed that usually they have to close down the Hall of Presidents for an extended time to do a new president. So with the clear cut winner being Hillary Clinton, they began work on a Hillary president for the Hall of Presidents. But then when Trump unexpectedly won, they did turn the Hillary face into a Trump face, and that's why it looks so wonk wonk.
Yeah. I just wonder, I want to see the faces of the Imagineers who were making the animatronic when they announced that Trump won. Yeah. They were probably like, oh, crap.
I want to see their faces when their boss came to them and said, we need to turn Hillary Clinton into Trump.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I just love that. I know we talked about that, like, forever ago, but I just love that it was confirmed.
I know. That would have been so cool if Hillary was in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know how to segue to this, but if you're in Walt Disney World and you've used Genie Plus before, it might be a little frustrating because in the past, Genie Plus was the same cost for every park. So if you only wanted to go to one park and use Genie Plus, you'd have to pay the same price for another park, even though the number of experiences may not be the same. Well, good news is that Disney changed it up, and now the Genie Plus price for each park will vary. So, for instance, Magic Kingdom, which has a lot more experiences and attractions, that will be the one with the most cost associated to it, which is about $25. And then Disney's Animal Kingdom will be the lowest tier park at $16 per guest. So I like how they're doing that because, yeah, it isn't fair if you're paying the same price when there's less attractions to see or use your Genie Plus. So I like that a lot.
That's nice. The only thing that I think kind of sucks is, like, you can use the same Genie Plus at California Adventure and Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can still do that.
Oh.
Yeah, you can pay the highest price and get
all the parks. Gotcha.
Yeah. But say if you just want to do one park for that day and use Genie Plus, yeah, you can have a lower price now, which is nice.
You said that, didn't you? And I was doing something else, huh?
No, it's fine.
Okay. I was planning ahead.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's something that they would implement at Disney or on the west side over here, because I feel like the attraction list is kind of similar to each other, and a lot of times people park hop anyway, so I don't think this would come over to our side.
I'm sorry, did you say something? No, you're right. I don't think it would come here, because you're right. It's pretty balanced. I feel like you could spend an equal amount of time at either park now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you can also spend an equal amount of time on is waiting in line for Oogie Boogie. Yeah. I mean, this isn't like news in the industry, but just kind of wanted to share our experience on the whole journey of getting Oogie Boogie Bash tickets. So as Magic Key holders, we did get the pre-sale tickets on Tuesday of the last week you're listening to this. And even that, starting off with that, that was kind of a journey.
Yeah, because we got in line to, well, quote unquote line.
The virtual
digital line. Yeah. Virtual line. A little before 9, so like 8:45. And we were the last of our party to get our tickets around 1:45.
Yeah.
And even then, the day we wanted, September 10th, sold out, like, not even 20 minutes after we got in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and the thing that sucks is, like, Alan was the first one who got into the waiting area, then me, then I sent it to Jessie, and then Jessie was the first to get her ticket like an hour in.
Yeah, I think that's just the most frustrating part, is even if you like get up early to access the line, like it's still kind of a bit of a like a lottery or just a random selection, because it just doesn't seem like it's by whoever gets on the page in order.
Yeah,
so it's a little frustrating with that.
Yeah, so what it basically does at 9 o'clock, whoever's in the waiting area, it assigns a random number to you that you can't see, and then you just have to wait. It'll say more than an hour wait until you get to, you know, under an hour, and then that's when it starts ticking down.
Yeah,
and it's funny too, because like once it starts ticking down, because once it went to 55 minutes, I texted Alan, and then it only took another, like, 30 minutes from there. So even then, like, you got to stay on it, because it tells you longer than it's going to be usually.
Yeah. So that's part one of our journey.
Oh, no.
So then today that we're recording this on the 29th, Thursday, is when the sale for the general public was supposed to happen. But there were technical difficulties, starting around like in the morning, like around, I think 11, a page popped up saying that the sales have been paused and they're having technical difficulties. And then not till like later in the afternoon is when they said, we're going to move this to next week, July 6th.
Yeah. A whole week. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I thought it'd move to like tomorrow.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there. Disney is saying it's due to technical difficulties. So not sure like what specifically, but yeah, it is a little frustrating for some people, but at least if you're listening to this and you haven't gotten Oogie Boogie tickets, you have July 6th to look forward to hopefully get your tickets then.
Don't say that until Rachel gets hers.
And that's still the whole 9 a.m no earlier than 9 a.m rule that they have.
Yeah, it's you should sign in at 8:45 a.m. wait in the queue until the actual wait in the room,
yeah,
until the queue starts.
Yeah, so good luck. Hopefully we'll see you there. If you go get tickets on September 10th, say hi to us if you see us,
because our costume is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say what it is yet. No. But it's going to be really cute.
Yeah. You know what else is cute?
Jollywood
Nights. I don't know if we talked about this.
No, I have here. No idea what it is.
Okay, so Jollywood Nights is the new holiday special ticketed event for Disney World at Hollywood Studios. So they're turning that park into a whole holiday celebration during the holiday time. And prices and dates are available now, or have been announced, I should say. And starting November 11th through December 20th, tickets will range from $159 to $169 per night. And tickets will go on sale to August, July 6th. So actually, that's the same day as Oogie Boogie tickets.
Oh, no.
Go out. So that's interesting.
That's going to drag down the system even more.
Yeah. I wonder why they picked July 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm excited for this. Don't know if I'll be going, but it looks like it's going to be fun. I mean, we had a lot of fun when we did the one at Magic Kingdom last year. I kind of wish they modeled that here on the West Coast with, like, giving out free drinks and ice cream. Because I love that, getting free food.
I'm surprised you said drinks and ice cream and not popcorn. Because you love
and popcorn too. That's right. Yeah. So,
and cookies, right?
And cookies, yeah. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
That was a good deal, actually. Because, like, Pride Night, we had to pay for our
food. Yeah, we got the opportunity to pay for food.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're excited for this or if you're going, let us know. Yeah. What's next?
Pixar putt.
Oh, yes. So, I don't know if you guys talked about it last week. I don't think you did, but I was in Chicago for kind of a work thing. But to my surprise, they had Pixar putt over there.
Mm.
If you're familiar in the with the Chicago area, it's at Navy Pier, and it's basically like a putt-putt traveling like experience where you go and each hole is themed to a Pixar movie. So you have like you start up with Toy Story and then it ends off in with the Up movie where you put your the ball into the house, the Up house, and then it actually like floats up to Paradise Falls. And your ball falls into the hole, which is cool. But yeah, if you're interested, the event or this whole thing will happen through the end of September. So if you're in Chicago around that time, check it out. They have both. They're basically open all day, day and night. So if you want to do like a nighttime experience, it's actually adults only too, which is kind of cool. They have that available. And yeah, it's fun. I will say it's not quality putt-putt because there are some times when I did hit the ball and the ball rolled back to me because it wasn't flat. Or there's also like the way they put it together, there's like gaps in the floor, so the ball would get stuck there sometimes. So don't expect a high quality mini golf. Just it's more so fun. So yeah, check it out. It's, I think, $33. Per person, and yeah, that's it.
33 a person.
Yeah, so it is a bit pricey too. but it's still a fun experience.
Nice.
Good photo ops for sure.
Speaking of fun experience and good photo ops, I think it's time.
It is.
It's time to talk about Rogers the Musical.
Yay!
So this was a fun experience. So being D23 members, we got to see an early preview today, Thursday, the 29th. We were there with Club 33 members. It seemed like some members of the press. The director was there.
And Marvel staff.
Mm-hmm. The show itself was fun. They gave us a popcorn bucket with kettle corn, but it's red, white, and blue.
Yeah, it tastes like red, white, and blue too.
Yeah, I'm not as much of a fan as kettle corn. I wanted like real popcorn.
Yeah,
but we got like a Steve Rogers, a Rogers the Musical ornament. We got a beanie for Secret Invasion. We got a soda or water of our choice. We got. What is that notebook? Called? Like a journal notebook?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, that explains why there was a Secret Invasion beanie in there now. They're like, go watch the show.
Please. Please watch it. So I would say it was definitely worth the $35 that we paid to see an early screening. The show itself, the main complaint that I heard, and you're not going to believe this, is that it was too short.
It was short.
It was only 30 minutes as compared to Alan Looked Up Frozen, which was like an hour.
Yeah.
So the show itself is very magical. I would say the thing that sets it apart is you're not going to see like the spectacle as much. You're not going to see a magic carpet fly over your head like Aladdin. You're not going to see, you know, the Elsa walking out on the huge chunk of ice bridge. You're not going to see the beautiful transformation she had of the dress. But the show has so much heart. It's also an original story. It's an original song. So I feel like that's what sets it apart as to why I was so excited for it, because this is completely original based on a joke in the Hawkeye series.
Yeah, it is more of like a campy type feel of a Marvel story. Because even like, I mean, there's just some parts like when Steve Rogers, before the serum, and then after, like, the transformation, people are just like, it's just kind of ridiculous when they kind of switch the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think both of our favorites was the Nick Fury song.
Yeah.
Where he's catching up Steve on everything he's missed in the almost 70 years that he was on ice.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing his character sing, because that's just something you don't really see or would expect from a Nick Fury type character. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah. It's a fun little show. The first part goes through the 1940s, and we see a lot of the storyline that we saw in Captain America First Avenger. And then we kind of get a quick look at all the movies that Captain America was in. We get a quick run through in a fun way, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then we kind of get a wrap up of a little bit different from the movies, I'd say.
Yeah.
Similar but different in how Cap comes full circle and kind of gets to retire from being Cap. So yeah. I like the way they did it. It was simple. I think if you haven't seen the movies, if you're just vaguely familiar with these characters, they do a good job of like saying who they are and taking you through the story in a quick way. And of course, if you are familiar with the characters, you know every beat, you know what they're talking about, and you get to see just the camp unfold.
Yeah. And the music was really good too. I was really surprised. It wasn't like some like cheesy theme park music. It was like, I could see this on a Broadway stage.
I know. I really think that they should adapt this to a full show.
Yeah. I really want to see it just expanded more to see, because I would love to see a like Captain America fight. Like, that'd be funny if he was fighting and singing.
Yeah.
Someone. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the parts that we really appreciated without giving too much away is there's a comic book cover part,
mm-hmm.
which was very creatively done. It was enjoyable. It harkens back to, I feel like they modeled some of those off of actual comics. And what's fun is, did you notice they were Timely comics?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it said Timely on the front, oh. which now that we know was the original studio that put it out.
Wow.
Yeah, so they really paid attention to detail.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, too, the set design was great. For a limited time run show, like, they went all out on the sets.
Yeah, because when you watch the Hawkeye episode, they actually like built the bridge that was in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
It's on a smaller scale, of course, because it's a smaller theater, but it was still like really magical for the lights to come up and to see like that full bridge there and get to see the exact same scene that we saw yeah. in the show.
Speaking of lights, if you do watch, make sure to bring your magic band.
Why?
Because it lights up with the show, which is cool. It could be a bit excessive. Especially if you're maybe sensitive to light, but I thought that was a cool addition because I did go in thinking like, oh, it'd be cool if they interacted with your magic band, which was nice. I mean, it vibrated too, so that was really fun. So yeah, if you do want that magic band experience, make sure to bring it and charge it.
Charge it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's funny is mine actually got stuck for a while. Yeah. It was just sitting on a yellow color, just lighting up the whole yeah. theater. And I turned out and I was like, is your soul lit up? It's like, no, girl. So, yeah, but it didn't seem like it bothered anyone. I
no.
think because people know what Magic Band is for the most part. But I guess since we're such kind of theater snobs, we're like, no talking, no cell phone. We were probably like, oh, no, I'm that person.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to our featured and then our Secret Invasion spoilers, shall we do some Margot Dispels?
Let's do it.
Margot Dispels!
Wow.
So our question was, who would you want to see sing in Rogers the Musical? I'm kind of sad now that we didn't make Nick Fury an option.
Yeah.
So coming in last was Black Widow at 13%.
Oh.
I know. She didn't. Did she get to sing?
No.
No, she got to do the cool moves.
Yeah, she did like a flip thing.
Yeah. Tying for second, we had Iron Man and Thor at 25%.
Wow.
Which they didn't really get to sing either.
No.
Not really. Coming in first with 38% of the votes is Hulk.
Wow.
Who did get to sing.
He did, yeah.
So I'm excited.
With his rock.
Yeah, with his rock. So for this week, our question to you is, which movie are you excited to see again in theaters? Toy Story, Beauty and the Beast, Coco, or The Lion King? So we'll answer ours next week.
Yeah.
Oh, so Kevin and I said The Hulk we want to see sing. Who would you have wanted to sing?
On this list, I would say, I think because now that I've seen it, so maybe a little influenced, but I would pick Black Widow because we got a lot of men singing in this.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to hear Black Widow, maybe even have Black Widow and Hawkeye have a duet.
Oh, wait, yeah, Black Widow did sing. I remember hearing her voice. But it was really quick.
Yeah, like a longer, maybe solo thing. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because really Peggy was only the only... Well, Peggy and the three...
Oh, yeah, the three girls. Which, by the way, they were awesome.
Yeah, I really liked the three girls. Trio, they were fun. Yeah. Cool. So what's your favorite moment this week?
It has to be Rogers the Musical.
Why?
Because we got to see it before most people. And it was just a great experience because, like, it was a good deal, I think, for $35. Like, we got this whole, like, welcome or commemorative pack gift set, and then the popcorn, the soda, and just early access. Like, $35 wasn't a bad deal. So I don't want to be, like, selling things, but I think being a D23 member, it's a good deal if you can take advantage of all these events. So, yeah, that's my favorite moment.
Yeah, and I'd say the only thing that deterred me a little is the line situation.
Yeah.
Because there was two lines that ended up forming, one that went towards Guardians of the Galaxy, one that went towards Monsters, Inc. So it was like my anxiety flared up because I'm like, how are you ever going to get in? But then the way Disney handled it is they let part of one line go, then part of the other. So they did a good job there. They managed it.
Yeah.
Everything else besides that was done really well, like you said. And I think, we are so passionate about Disneyland and the parks and just all their properties that, like, I guess I'll speak for myself. I just assume people know, like, Rogers the Musical is here. But, like, when I talk to our friend Chris, he's like, oh, where's that at? And when I talk to even my hairstylist, Victoria, she's like, oh, where's that at? So it's kind of like, all that to say, getting to see it with the Uber fans who knew it was there and paid to see it early, is an experience because they're the ones who are passionate about it. Like, there were so many people dressed up, like, walking through the park is like, oh, they're probably seeing Rogers. Oh, yeah. I think they're seeing Rogers. Because the excitement and the passion people showed really came out.
Yeah. And this was definitely something that we wanted ever since we saw it in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
This is something, like, this has to come to the Hyperion Theater because, like, it just fits so well.
So, yeah. I even heard somebody behind us talking today where they were like, it's funny because this was just like a throwaway joke in that Hawkeye show. And now it's like here. And I'm like, it was a throwaway joke, but like we wanted it.
Yeah.
And we let that be known.
Yeah. So at least like I'm happy Disney listens to the fans sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hocus Pocus. Embrace Hocus Pocus, Disney. All right. Secret Invasion episode 1 and 2.
Yeah. It happened.
How are you liking it so far?
I mean, I like it. It's different from the other Marvel shows that we've seen because it feels more like serious, more like we've heard this from like the D23 con where it is going to feel more like spy-y and more serious. So it is that. So just be aware if you are looking at that. Are we giving spoilers?
Yeah, this is spoilers.
Okay. I was a little sad about Colby Smulders' character dying.
Yeah.
But I get it. She's has other things going on.
Yeah, and we did get, I think his name is Elliot Ross from Black Widow. We did get that scene in the beginning where he's running, he falls, his body hits the ground, and it's revealed he's a Skrull. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I'm sad about so far, and I want to see, like, really beefed up, is, like, in the comics in Secret Invasion, it's very much like, I don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
Like, anybody could be a Skrull.
Yeah.
And the show's not really giving me that yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing that's also kind of, like, trying to make, like, I think sometimes I'm confusing myself because, like, I think they're the Skrull or, like, it's revealed that it is and it's not or vice versa. So you definitely kind of have to pay attention, but it is, yeah, that whole, like, Skrull thing in the back of your head is, like, are they, like, it's very confusing. You can get confusing or, like, kind of throw yourself off while watching.
Yeah, I kind of want to see, like, I need a big reveal. I need, like, for example, here's what would be amazing. If they could tie this all the way back to Age of Ultron, where Nick Fury's eating the toast, and, like, everybody pointed out, like, that's not how he described to eat toast. Mm-hmm. Or even, like, maybe the Skrulls have been here long enough that they compromised Iron Man all the way back in Civil War, and that's why Civil War happened. You know what I mean? I want a big reveal like that, or something to question, like, how long were they a Skrull? How much have they been affecting things? Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, maybe we'll get it later on this season.
I think so. I think it's going to end on, like, a huge cliffhanger like that that'll lead into the Marvels. Because apparently, this is a prequel to the Marvels.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of Marvel comic events start with, like, a big character dying. So, unfortunately, had to be Maria Hill, Kobe Smulders. And then there's the whole scene with her mom, and that was just so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's good, but you're right. You really do have to pay attention, because, like, you even missed a part where, Nick Fury comes home, and there's a Skrull cutting cucumbers, but when he walks in the room, it's a nice-looking black woman who is his wife. So it's like, oh my glob, does he know that his wife's a Skrull? Since when has he had this wife? Yeah. So that was, like, a big moment for me.
I mean, not going to lie, we were watching it pretty late, and I was kind of dozing off.
Oh, no!
So I think I had closed my eyes when they showed her as a Skrull.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Fine. Yes.
But yeah, don't watch the show sleepy.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm still excited for it. I still am here for it.
Yeah.
I just want more of that spy feel that they're describing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it does feel like it's been a while since we've got a Marvel show. I think the last one was She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice to kind of get another Marvel show. Because I'm just so used to the fast pace, or just the back-to-back series that come out. So, yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to a point where, like, I have to wait, like, 6 months for a Marvel show. Yeah. And then they'll start putting them more. And then we'll be like, they're putting too many.
Yeah. We're never satisfied.
We're never satisfied. Cool. Did you have anything else to say?
No. I'm enjoying it. I'm just waiting for more stuff to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a slow burn show.
Yeah.
Well, we here at Marvelous Galaxy of Disney wish you a happy 4th of July, a safe 4th of July. Don't be messing with those fireworks in places you're not supposed to. You're going to scare our dog.
Yes. And when you do fireworks, only do it if you do it July 4th.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Not after, not before, because that's not when those happen. So
yeah, so be safe, celebrate our independence, what's led us to this point as a nation.
Enjoy Rodgers the Musical on July 4th if you can. That's a very patriotic thing to do.
That is.
Yeah.
Also, eating carne asada and going in the pool with alcohol. That's pretty patriotic, I'd say.
Yeah. Drinking alcohol, drinking some Jack Daniels lemonade.
Maybe we'll shoot something.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Thank you for listening. Check me out on mymagicaljourneys.com. For any tips on travel or just like escape rooms or theme parks within California. Also, my book on Amazon, Witches Brew, A Dream of Waking. Or your TikTok.
Oh, yeah, I have a TikTok. this guy, Alan. You can find me there. I post a few like Disney stuff as well as like Disney updates, Disney news, similar to what we're talking about right now. So, yeah, check it out and like it or follow.
Yeah, or you can like and follow Solving for X, which this week you will find Have Yourself a Morlock Little Christmas. Or you can listen to me on Words of the Witches, where we are just over halfway done with season 10 of the Charmed comics.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Happy 4th, and we'll see you next week with more.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.